The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Johan Pietila joins me. He's candidate for Jackson County Circuit Court Judge, position 11, Pietila4judge.org. By the way, can't tell you how many times I've had to pronounce that name, that last name.
You're doing great.
There's Johan, and then there's Pietila, but that's okay. Anyway, Johan, great to have you in. We had you in here a few weeks ago. Ask for his time. That's great. Now, though, the votes are coming out. I actually wanted to give all the candidates for this position a bite at this because, as I told your opponent an hour ago, a lot of times these jobs just get a lot – there's a lot of undervote in these, and a lot of people just ignore the judges, the judge races, and I think this is way, way more important than I think most people think it might be. And so the first question I will ask you, I will have similar questions to what I asked Matt an hour ago on this one, is that why do you want the judgeship? What is driving you on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's I want to live in a place where justice is happening. Justice is being upheld. And that isn't just criminal justice. It's civil justice as well. And that just means the right things are happening for the right reasons. Like you said, these judges' positions, they often get overlooked, but really it has a huge impact on people. On the criminal side, on the civil side, someone you know, maybe yourself, will be in front of a judge at some point in their life. They're probably not going to directly interact with the president or a senator, right? This is a real down-home issue.
Yeah, your odds of being involved in a court case or having someone you know being involved in a court case is probably pretty good at some point in your life.
Right, exactly.
And whether it's divorce, like I've never had any problem with that. Said no bill ever. But in all seriousness, it is a big deal because it interacts with so many aspects of our life. So that's one of the reasons you're driving in. But what is your experience? Give me kind of your bio here, your background.
Yeah, so I've been a public servant pretty much my entire legal career. I originally did start doing defense work up in the Portland area. That was not for me, criminal defense work. And then I was volunteering in law school at the Muniz Clinic, which is essentially an anti-recidivism clinic. Mm-hmm. People get out of the prisons. They need to get reintegrated to society.
And you're trying to keep everybody straight then, all right? Why is it that you didn't find defense is all that great for you?
You know, it just didn't. I'll tell you, I had a case. I went home to my parents for dinner, and they asked how my day was. And I had done well in the case, but I didn't feel great about it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. And I mentioned that to my boss. And we had talked a lot about, you know, you're not defending what they did. You're defending their rights as a citizen.
Oh, yeah. And that's true.
It is true. And it's an important work. But it wasn't for me. And I thought and actually my boss at the time recommended, like, how would you feel as a prosecutor? And so that was, bells started going off. I was like, this could be mine. But yeah, it was good. And then so I came down here and I've been working for Jackson County for just shy of 10 years, I think now. And yeah, started as a prosecutor and then worked my way up in that office. And then, based on my desire to be a judge, I switched over to county counsel's office doing civil litigation and getting that side of things too.
Okay. How many years of experience overall?
About 10.
About 10. Okay. How would you contrast your experience then with your opponent's experience here?
I'd say there's a couple of things I would point out. One is I've been a dedicated public servant my entire career. That is a big difference between the two of us. Obviously, we both have civil litigation experience. Mm-hmm. I know he was at corporate counsel, and I think he's worked at a couple of the firms around town and then had his own practice. But for me, it's always been about working with the county. Like, how can we make this county better? And they need litigators. They need people to explain the law to different departments. They need people to defend them if a lawsuit arises. And then obviously, a big difference that everyone could understand is the prosecutor and defense. So I was a prosecutor. He was a defense attorney. That has a big effect on the way you look at cases and the way that you interpret the law in that, and I think we've talked about this before. Prosecutors, they do everything in the public eye. Everything they do, they have to be able to justify to the public. Why did we make this charging decision? Why are we seeking this sentence? Mm-hmm. Explain to the victims, these are your rights. This is what's going to occur after this. Explain to the defendant, no, I'm not going to cut you a deal on this. Or yes, here's an alternative program if you're ready to go into treatment. Those things are all tough decisions and you make them publicly. Whereas on the defense side, obviously, your one job is to represent your client. The best
yeah, whatever
of your
it is, you're yeah. you're pedal to the metal on a defense.
Yeah,
right?
So
whatever
that's
it takes.
I think that's a big difference there. I would say also just generally dedication to wanting this job. So like I said, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I made a switch in my career with the intention of running for judge. As you know, because you had, I think, all of us on in May or in March, there was an open seat up. And I don't believe my opponent put in for it. I don't think he's ever run for election. I ran against an incumbent, which was a big undertaking.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah, doing it again here. So, but I wanted the job. I think that I would be a good asset to this community. And I've shown my commitment to wanting to be a judge in that I've now taking on a second stab at running against an incumbent.
Okay. I don't know if you can comment on this, if this causes a problem or not, but, you know, you both of you in this race applied when the position came open, and Governor Kotek ended up choosing your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the way that a completely new judgeship should be?
It's tough to say. I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to let the opportunity pass me by. Like I said, I want to be serving the community in this way. I will say, I don't know. It's a tough thing. You know, they're up in Salem. It's a Zoom interview. It's a, you know, I know they didn't call my boss for reference. So I thought that was, you know, interesting. He's like, they never called me.
Oh, you pretty much knew that you were out.
Yeah.
Huh?
So I was like, I guess
you weren't.
I guess
you
maybe
weren't,
this isn't
you
going
weren't
my
the
way.
In crowd,
yeah.
Huh? Okay.
But it's tough, you know, and as you know, especially with judges races, the incumbency, it gives you a big up. They call it, you know, a 20% swing just for being the incumbent. And if you looked at the numbers from the last election, you know, only 39% of people turned out to vote, which is abysmal. And then of that 39%, the undervote was 11,000 votes in the judge spot. So you've got, you know, almost a quarter of the people that turned out to vote didn't vote for judge. And that's like, you know, when you think about those two things, having the incumbent stamp, even if, you know, you've been a judge for a couple of months, is a big deal. If people aren't, you know, aware of that, I think it creates some... So it could potentially create some issues.
Okay. All right. I asked your opponent this, too. If you are elected, will you serve your term?
Absolutely. And, I mean, I will run again. So I've seen judges retire.
You explain why I asked this question? Maybe you, I hope you know.
Yeah,
why
I mean,
I
well, I mean,
I
can, I can assume. I don't like to assume, but I, you know, that position that was created in I think it was January, we had Judge Gerken retire, and so we had a couple months to scramble, and people put in for it. That was the one that Judge Herbert and Joe Davis ran for.
That's right.
And so you just essentially you take a little bit of the power out of the people. So you're essentially. You're leaving your position. It has to be filled because you can't go without a judge. And then someone is going to be the incumbent. You know, that's going to be the case.
And that's by design. From what
it sounds like.
All right. Now, I have to ask you. Now, you've been in two. You were in another election a little earlier. Is there kind of an unwritten rule that the governor appoints you and then you will do the same later on? Or is that just something that is talked about?
I have no idea on that. I do know, all I can say is that it is an uphill battle going against an incumbent, whether appointed or elected. I think if you're going in against an incumbent, the lack of interest from the general public is a fight. And then the incumbency stamp is a big thing. And, you know, you'll see signs around town. It says judge, but it doesn't say, you know, appointed judge. So people don't know. Most people don't know, you know, how that position is filled. Even generally speaking, people don't know that judges are elected in Oregon. So that's, you know, that's kind of a big deal. And that's why, you know, there's certain like weird things you got to avoid. Like he can't say reelect me. It's, you know, retain or elect.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah. Cause he hasn't been elected. So, but you know, I mean, those are minor details that, unless you're paying close attention, people wouldn't know.
Court backlog. Is there any influence that you could bring into the system? I guess you can't go for money and things like that. You can't lobby for money. But what can be done about this? Because even your opponent said, hey, we got one new position, which you're both fighting for.
Right.
But that we really needed four. Right. You know?
And I think the main thing that a good judge would do is, so a judge's main job is to hear the case, right?
Right.
And so if you are a good listener and people know that you're a good listener and they're not going to spend this time you know, playing these games, trying to figure out, you know, ins and outs of avoiding certain parts of litigation, or, you know, recusing you as a judge, or some sort of issue that's going to delay things. But people are like, oh, we've got Judge Pietola. We know we're going to get a fair shake at this. Let's go in and talk to him. Let's explain the issue. It might just be a small issue. We can work through that quickly and efficiently. And then it's a good use of resources. You're moving through things quickly if you're doing your job right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think.
Right. What about the public defense attorneys, you know, what about that? Where do we find ourselves? Do you agree on what you heard him talk about? Or is it about the money, or is it about something else that's causing trouble with getting defense attorneys here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always about the money, I guess, in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I think the prosecutor's office would say we have just as many cases, you know, as the defense. Obviously, you got, you know, somebody on each side. I think everyone in every industry stretched very thin. I think that we have resources here to help defense attorneys. So we've got alternative incarceration programs. We've got alternative courts, programs we could get people into.
Are they being adequately used at this point, in your opinion?
I don't think yet. I think we're on the verge of a change. I think some of the revisions to Measure 110 might help with that. It's also going to be about effective utilization and knowledge of those programs and getting that word out.
From what you, as someone who studies legal work, and you look at the Measure 110 reforms, enough, not enough, not known yet.
I mean,
what does your gut tell you about, you know, and I know you, this is not going to do anything about your rulings. I'm just looking for your temperament here.
Yeah. I think it opens up some opportunities. It's got several safety valves, for lack of a better word. So you've got deflection, you've got diversion, like two different, you know, steps there. You've got also the change to distribution of a controlled substance, which is, I think, fantastic, because going after drug dealers, I think, is critical. And there were some case law that came out a few years back that really took the teeth away from prosecuting drug dealers. And one of the reforms is it codifies distribution of a controlled substance and how you can get there. But so that's very helpful, I think.
Okay, very good. What about fully informed jury? I've been talking about this. I talk about this, usually talk about this with every judicial candidate at some point. Sometimes I've forgotten to do it. I don't know how I could. But what is your take on the whole idea, the concept that has been pushed by some? In fact, even FIJA is the name of the organization, in which the juror should be able to judge not just the facts of the case, but also the law itself.
Mm-hmm. I think that is highly dangerous and inappropriate.
You do?
I don't think – so you've probably heard of marijuana. It's it's around the valley.
Yeah.
We used to prosecute cases for that, and some people really felt strongly that marijuana should not be illegal. And it was a fight telling the jury, whether or not you agree with this law, this is the law on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And – you are charged with following that law. It didn't always work. Sometimes you get jury nullification, and you could tell, you're like, oh, they didn't like the law. They went against me for that reason. So it's critical that judges, attorneys, everyone's explaining, like, whether or not you agree with the law in the books, these are the laws right now. Write your legislature after the trial. But, you know, it's very important that juries are following the law consistently, and judges are following the law consistently.
Doesn't the ability for a jury to say no to a law, though, in essence, prevent some tyranny directly? I'm going to engage here in judicial what-ism, okay? What-if-ism, okay?
Sure.
Johan Pietola with me this morning, all right? State legislature passes a law that says all you nasty Republicans, you're just too nasty, and you need to show up to your FEMA camp. Okay, I'm going. This is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, all right?
Okay. Oh yeah, it is.
And so it's just like, and then the jury just says, you know, I think that's a bad law, even though the legislature that he's represented has passed it. Is there no room for any of that?
I mean, I guess in some sense there could be. I think it's still inappropriate. I think there's probably safeguards along the way, right? Because you've got law enforcement that would have to enforce it. Mm-hmm. We saw that with, you know, Measure 110 and those citations that were supposed to go
out. That's true. Where they decided to enforce or not enforce.
And
you've got
judges that might be willing to stick their neck out. I think it's important at that point that you start looking north to Salem and saying, who are these people that are making these decisions, and how do we affect change in that way.
Johan Pietila with me. He's candidate for Jackson County Circuit Court Judge, position 11. Pietila, forjudge.org is the website. In all of your years, of course, been one of the counsels for Jackson County. You've been some defense, you know, for a while and all the rest of it. What has been your overall biggest disappointment or criticism of the judicial system? And what would you be able to, what would you like to do to help remedy some of this, if you can think of anything?
Yeah. So it's not my personal criticism, but I will say this. So, you know, in the spring, I was doing my best to talk to as many citizens as I could. I was knocking on a lot of doors, holding a lot of meet and greets, going to a lot of events, and just talking to people about their experience. And I think the number one thing I heard was that judge wasn't listening to me. I didn't get a fair shake.
Really?
Yeah. And that was, and you know, obviously at times if people, if things haven't gone their way, they might be upset about it. But I think one of the things I can do to that is I'm always going to give someone the respect the position that they're in, respect them as an individual, and listen to their case. Whether it's a divorce case, a custody case, a criminal case, people have the right to be heard, right? They get their day in court, and that means being heard.
Would you say then, listening to that criticism, of at least a complaint there, do you get the suspicion that in some cases there are almost predetermined outcomes in some with some judges in some cases?
You know, I think that's a risk. I think that's absolutely a risk. I think one of the problems with my profession, and you know, I've probably been guilty of it too, is, you know, glancing at something and think that you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But really, you got to dig into those facts, and you got to like treat every case as it is, which is an individual and a very unique situation for that individual. The law obviously is going to stay the same, and you're going to apply that consistently. But every case is going to be different. There's going to be minutiae in it. There's going to be a small difference that may change the way you apply the law.
All right. You have a lot of endorsements on your website. Many law enforcement, it seems that way. Do you have anybody from the defense side that's sympathetic to you too? Or?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of who all is on there. So the way that I actually structured my endorsements, and you know, a lot of people go out there and it's like a grab bag, right? They're like, who's powerful and who's got a big name that I can stay?
Yeah.
But every single one of my endorsements is someone I have worked with or provided
training. The reason I bring this up, though, is that, you know, we little schmoes out here, you know, it's like I can't ask how you're going to rule on a case or anything like that. How would you have handled this? You know, we can't do that.
Right.
And so we have to look at who are the associates, so to
speak. Yeah, so I've got, you know, so Judge Markowitz and Judge Cromwell, I'm very honored to have their endorsements. They're both, and they run right now the adult drug court and the mental health court. But I also worked with both of them. I've appeared in front of them as judges, as an attorney, and I also worked with both of them at the prosecutor's office. So they're familiar with my work ethic. They're familiar with my dedication, with my approach to criminal prosecution. And then, you know, people like former Chief of Police Clausen. We've got former Chief of Police Ferracino. I provided trainings for them. They've seen me as a prosecutor. You know, I would go over to Medford and provide trainings to new officers. I would do updates on search and seizure. You know, they're familiar with my ability to explain the law to people. Obviously, Sheriff Sickler probably has one of the most familiar or some of the most familiarity with my work because he saw me as a prosecutor and now I represent him as my client. And so he's seen me
for the county.
For the county. Yeah, he's one of my clients. And so, you know, I've helped him navigate the things like Blake v. Grant's Pass, that homeless encampment case that went down. Like, how do we adapt county policy to fit this? We've gone through, you know, wanting to see changes within the jail. And then the commissioners, the same thing. You know, we've helped the commissioners navigate some things. They've seen my ability to tackle complex issues or to help them, you know, navigate new changes. So I am very honored to have all of my endorsements. I think that what I can be proud of is that it really reflects my work in the past. It's not just a grab bag of, you know, politicians or organizations.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any final closing moments here?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could talk about this all day, but I really...
I know you could. All right.
I guess one of the things, I was out in Eagle Point on Monday out at a candidate forum, and it was, you know, pretty well attended. It had to do with the Eagle Point City Council. The mayor was there. Both Randy Spiracino and Denise Krause running for commissioner were there. And everyone had the same sentiment. These local elections are so important. And it's so important. You know, people are always looking at the top of the ticket. Everyone wants to make their stamp there. But it's so important to look through the ballot, look at the ballot measures, look at, I mean, judges, I think, are at the very bottom of the ballot, you know, so it's important, and it could have a very real effect, a very real impact, who's on the bench. And you're going to want someone who's going to show you respect, who's going to listen to you, and who's going to follow the law.
Pietila4judge.org. I'll put your information up there. I appreciate you taking a few moments
Thanks
to
so much.
Come in here. Johan Pietila. It is 8:36, and you are on KMED. 99.3 KBXG, waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Joel here from Motherford and Truck Center, and I got a
106.3 KMED. It's the Bill Meyer Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
22 before 9, and yeah. A little open phone time on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We had a lot of conversation from candidates today just because, hey, it's that season. But whatever's on your mind. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, this is Tim. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Tim. Pleasure.
There's two things here. The other day I called in, and it was Tim, and then I had to go. I was working. So you answered the phone, and you said, hey, Tim, and there was another guy.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to know. But anyway, this guy that you just had on the radio, I didn't get it. What was that site that we could check out?
Okay. Yeah, it's the one I just talked to was Johan Pietila. It's like Pietila, Pietila, 4judge.org is his website.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I could talk to that guy. But I can go on there and do some contact with him.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And and you could do the same thing. And you could also do the same thing for his opponent that I spoke to earlier this morning. I wanted to bring that up, and that is Judge Matthew Rowan. Rowan, Rowan, 4judge.com. They both have websites that you could check into and ask him a question or two.
Pietila guy, that's .org, right?
Yes, Pietila is .org. Okay.
And then the Rowan is .com.
Yeah. I'll put these up on KMED.com a little bit later this morning on my show blog, okay? All right.
I listen to you all the time, man. I think you're a great asset to the area.
Well, very kind. Thank you for that. Appreciate the call. 770-563. Good hearing from you, Tim. It is 20 before 9. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Bill, it's your friend Brad. Good morning to you.
Morning, Brad.
Hey, so great show this morning. Always
Thank
enjoy
you.
It when you have Dennis Lentz come on. The thing that that you know and I know is there's opportunities all over the place for people that want to get involved in it. It's not necessarily an election. Here in Jackson County, we have over 250 positions that can be filled either by – these are volunteer, non-paid positions. But every single one of those positions affects the political atmosphere that we all live in. You know, I heard Pietila talking about, you know, people don't even know how the judges are installed in their offices, don't know that they're – so many people don't know.
I know. And I really dislike and frankly, I think that having the governor appoint a judge colors things politically. And I don't like that. I really do. I wish he would stay out of it.
It's not the best, but Bill, you're a busy guy, and so many, you know, and people, I know they send you stuff all the time. They think you have a magic wand that you can fix all this stuff, but
yeah.
But honestly, there are all these positions, you know, parking committees, park committees, planning commissions, so many volunteer. And the thing is, and we're all busy, but I always mention this to people is if you're not willing to go and sit in that seat, I promise you there's somebody else that will be happy to go sit in that seat, and they will make decisions that you don't like.
And generally speaking, the more activists are many of those people,
yeah.
And the activists
yeah.
around here tend to be mostly of the left-wing persuasion. And
yes.
you have to say, hey, you could have been there, but you just let the default position, left-wing crazed activist, you know, get into that seat. Where are you?
So Bill, you're in the game every day, and your community needs you. This is the message. Your community needs you. Bill Meyer can't do it all. Dennis Lincoln can't do it all. But all of us working together, the more good people that we have in all these other volunteer positions, and then when an election does come, that's the garden where we can go and find candidates for these elected positions is people that have already been seasoned
mm-hmm.
by serving in these volunteer
positions. Yep, you're right. You have a farm team, so to speak. All right? Excellent point. And thanks for making it, Brad. Let me grab one more call because I'm just running a little bit behind. Well, of course, I'm always running behind by the end of the show. But anyway, hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Good morning. This must be the other Brad.
Hello, Brad. Brad and Brad.
How you doing, brother?
Doing fine. What's up?
Hey, off topic a little bit, but I just wanted to say happy anniversary to you, buddy.
Well, thank you. We had a great time. Great time out at the coast. And like I said, you know, you go out to the coast, everything on the coast needs power wash, but that's usual. And that's the kind of the, that's the way the coast looks, right? Isn't it?
Hey, it's good to get away. I just hit 46 years in September.
46. Well, I hope they make it to 46. If it was 46, how old would I be? Let's see, 46.
Pretty old.
Yeah, that would be 26. So I would be 89 years old. And hey, I'd be very happy to make it to 89 years old and do that. And, let's do it.
And I see you saw the interview with Barr and Harris on the TV last night. You made a comment on it on Facebook.
Yeah, what did you think about that overall?
Oh, I thought, you know, thankfully somebody could just basically ask her some tough friggin' questions.
And the fact that she would not answer the question is an answer in and of itself.
Oh, you know, hopefully people are paying attention to that because she, you know, she just dances around all this stuff.
Definitely playing rope-a-dope, and let me tell you, Brett Baer is no dope, that is for sure. Appreciate the call there as always. You take care, Brad. It is 8:44. Now then, after news, we're going to bring up a situation here that I try to avoid like the plague, and that would be geoengineering, not climate change necessarily, but chemtrail kind of talk. But there is an event going on. I'm going to let you know about it, and Brother Louie is going to tell us all about that in a matter of seconds, okay?
The new Jackson County Circuit Court judge position needs a new kind of judge. The Oregon Legislature's creation of a new judge...
And Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com. The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
12 before 9, Brother Louie's here. Louie, tell me what's going on in Ashland this weekend that people need to know more about, huh? Welcome.
Well, we have a great opportunity to find out some... a good documentary made by an Ashland resident who will be there to answer questions. And this is at the Bellevue Grange, mm-hmm. which is easy to find, at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
And what is
I can't tell you all about geoengineering, but there's a website that does do that very well, and that's called zerogeoengineering.com.
Mm-hmm.
But today, or tomorrow, day after tomorrow, Matt Landman, he's a local filmmaker, is going to screen his documentary called Franken Skies.
Franken Skies. I like to play on words, huh?
Yeah, it's great. So, I heard you earlier say that, you know, hey, a great big claims require big evidence.
Yeah.
Well, this I spent about 2 hours on this website, zerogeoengineering.com. Really a good website. It goes back to the middle of the last century. They've got Seymour Hersh talking about geoengineering that was being done in Vietnam to create and control rainfall there to make it harder for the Viet Cong to go down the Ho Chi Minh Trail and things like that. So this was Seymour Hersh, who, you know, is a very famous journalist made his name in Vietnam, and is still out there.
Yeah, and where I think things break down, though, is you know, not a day goes by here, Louie, that someone doesn't call and say, oh, okay, well, they ordered up rain. Okay, so they order up the rain. They order up the dry stuff. So if the weather's great, it's because they love us. If the weather's bad, it's because they hate us. What is it? You know, it's as if nothing out of the geoengineering world, it's like it's all geoengineered. Nothing is ever it's never just bad stuff happens to good people. It's just, you know, something that was a targeted hit somewhere. And that gets a little hard to believe, too. Can you understand my skepticism of such matters?
I've heard you talking to Lucretia on this program about about chemtrails. Well, chemtrail's not a great word for it. It's more like cloud seeding and weather control. But the way to the way to really find out some facts, and this is well documented, is that website, you know, zerogeoengineering.com. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I spent a couple hours with that, and I could have a long conversation about it on my own, but I don't have the documentation in my pocket. But, you know, yeah, yesterday or Tuesday, I saw streaks in the sky. And then the Tuesday night it rained, and I thought, wow, look at that. You know,
you see streaks in the sky, and I see cloud movement. You know, and you see a nefarious influence, and I'm just wondering where, and I'm what am I missing? I guess is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, you know that information is suppressed because of COVID. You know, I mean, there's a wonderfully large Ashland community that would surprise you. With being in agreement about a lot of those things with you. And I've recommended your program to a lot of them over the past couple of years because I felt you were definitely on the right page with the facts about COVID and vaccination and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people here that you'd be surprised. It's not all Ashland one-sided kind of woo.
No, I completely understand that, too. So, anyway, let's hit the high points because I'm almost out of – you know how it is. I'm always running late, and I'm always out of time here, okay. Louis. So it's Saturday night, 7 o'clock. This is going to be free then, and this is with a local documentarian who is putting this on. And who is that documentarian again? Who did that? What's the name?
His name is Matt Landman, mm-hmm. L-A-N-D-M-A-N, and he lives in Ashland, and he made this film, and he will be there, hopefully, to answer your question. I hope you show up, Bill. I've seen you at the Roxanne Grange at one point, and I know that you really do your homework, and you do get around, and you have a lot of good points to make. So I'd love to see you asking some questions.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, but I'm already doing an event in Josephine County earlier that day that I'm already spoken for, and then frankly, then I have to fill the pool in. But I'll get back to you on that, Louis. All right, you can give me a report when the time comes. Okay, but
I certainly would.
All right, so Bellevue Grange. Saturday the 19th, 7 o'clock, and this is free or contributions,
it's
where you want.
Absolutely free. Nobody's looking for donations or anything. And they have a shared parking lot with Bellevue School right there on the corner of Tolman Creek and South Siskiyou Boulevard.
All right.
Real easy to find. A lot of parking. Really nice place to attend a filming of something. So I recommend showing up there. It's a nice social thing. You might meet some people that'll surprise you. And I'm going to be there, and I know I'm going to enjoy this.
All right. Well, I appreciate you letting the community know about this. So Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and we're going into this documentary, okay? Talk soon, Louis.
Great.
You take care.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right. Be well.
Be well.
8:54, and you're on KMED.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner? Here's five good reasons. One, I've worked on the people's side of government over 20 years, defending our property rights, our liberties, and our freedoms from government overreach and intrusion. Two, because when you elect me, you'll get a man of integrity who will honestly listen and hear your concerns. I will never forget I work for and serve the people. Three, I'm a team player on the people's team. I'm not a politician. I'm just like you, believing in lower taxes, financial responsible, and transparent government. Four, I have no hidden agendas. I will openly work to see the people's will expressed through county government to be your voice inside government. Five, as a conservative, I am proud to be the only Position 3 candidate endorsed by the Josephine County Republican Party and Oregon Right to Life. Learn more at VoteRonSmith.com. Paid for by friends of Ron Smith, 22604.
With so many people working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. 8th Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. In their Studio 10 expansion, you'll find passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproduction, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel in Studio 10.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe, no resident is homeless, and all businesses succeed. Randy Sparacino will keep our community safe by strengthening law enforcement
addressing the homelessness and housing crisis, and encouraging economic growth.
Together, we will ensure that Jackson County remains a place where safety, opportunity, and freedom thrive.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676. American Rancher Garage,
united in service. October is here, folks, and at American Rancher Garage, that means Brake-toberfest. Save big on all brake services here at the shop. Get a free visual brake inspection or save up to 20% on preventative maintenance with your brakes. Or go big and save $150 on pad and rotor replacement services. Brake-toberfest is here, but it only lasts through October 31st. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule your appointment today. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Lynn Barton here, Medicare Advisor at Sky Park Insurance. If you have Medicare Advantage, big changes are coming, so it's more important than ever to review your current coverage and compare plans. Annual enrollment is October 15th to December 7th. Let me help you make sense of it all. And if you're new to Medicare, I can explain how it works, your coverage options, and potential pitfalls. Call me at 541-499-0958 or find me at skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Hi, I'm Riley with Rotary Drilling Company, and I'm on KMED.
It's 8:57. A couple of emails of the day, sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. Central Point Family Dentistry, by the way, accepts most dental plans, offers one of their own if you don't have dental insurance. Similar to dental insurance, but with better benefits, fewer limitations. And you'll find them on CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. And Dina writes me this morning, hey, Bill, this is a follow-up on Wild Sam and Steve's call about the shortage of anesthesia. Says, morning, Bill. I'm scheduled for an SI joint injection later this month at a local surgery center, too. Yesterday, they called and asked if I wanted laughing gas or oral sedation. Since this is partially for diagnostic purposes as to location, I chose the laughing gas to be alert immediately after the procedure. Surgery center did not explain the shortage. I didn't ask. This is important enough to me to not to delay the procedures. Granny writes about, hey, Bill, this whole idea with... you know, honest Democrat, when I was talking about Dennis Linthicum, election could actually make a more honest Democrat. Honest Democrat, isn't that an oxymoron? Hey, you make me laugh. Thank you for that. Judy writes, wow, Bill, I was in the kitchen baking. Great to hear from Tom Fitton, my favorite person. Judicial Watch on your program just now. You get an extra batch of homemade cookies when I see you Saturday at the Republican headquarters. Blessings. Oh, I don't know. Judy, I love your cookies, but just a nice portion would be fine. I mean, I'm not getting any lighter, okay? And let's see what else we have. Herb writes me the bill. Trump nor Vance in the pamphlet. Why? Need to sue the Secretary of State's office? Thank you, Herb. Herb, I know a lot of people have been asking about this. The Trump campaign did not write a check or did not put a statement in it. And a lot of people don't realize that the voter's pamphlet, everyone that's in that has to pay. You have to pay a fee to get in there. And I don't know if Trump just didn't want to pay the state of Oregon anything after the way the state of Oregon has treated him. I don't know. But nothing nefarious or conspiracy theory Thursday on that, okay? Be well. The email, Bill at BillMyerShow.com. We'll talk again on Find Your Phone Friday. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.